Hi, Daniel. How are you? Thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you very much for your time. Welcome along to the Sideline View. Now, commentary of sports, it's pretty tough. I've tried doing it at a local sport level. How did you get involved in doing some commentary?
Well, at that very level, yeah, at a local level, when I was about 20 years old, growing up in Brisbane, and I grew up in a motorcycle racing family, and I had stopped to concentrate on university and just kind of fell into it, really. The organisers of the local motorcycle club in Ipswich, they were in need of a commentator, and they said, hey, you seem to be making good speeches, you know, for yourself or your brother, and you seem pretty confident on a microphone. Would you like to have a go? We'll pay you $60. And I think on that first day, I had to call about 90 races.
Wow.
They were short races, mind you. But, yeah, so it all started in a wooden shed at Tivoli Raceway outside of Ipswich, and then it kind of grew from there.
So I'm guessing motorsport was in the blood from that point on?
It was. And, you know, everybody has to find their foot in the door, so to speak, and motorsport was my entry into broadcasting. And then, many years later when I joined Network 10 and Sports Tonight, and to branch out and cover, you know, a lot of different sports was really great. But motorsport, you know, I'm coming up to nearly my 25th year in broadcast television sports, and, you know, I've covered a lot of different sports, but that whole time, motorsport has been the main vein in my career.
Now, you mentioned there about working for Channel 10 back in Australia, calling supercars. What were your memories of calling supercar races back here in Australia?
Oh, fantastic memories. Really, really special. Obviously, that was my big break in Australian television. I'd started in halfway through 1996 doing the Super Tours, the 2 litre Super Tourers.
Yeah.
That was done through a production company, and then it was aired on Network 10. And it wasn't until later in 96 that I actually got a job, a freelance reporting job on Sports Tonight. And then in 1997, when Channel 10 got the rights of what they weren't quite called V8 Supercars, and it was still the Australian Touring Car Championship, and 10 had got the rights away from Channel 7 and made pretty much a wholesale change. Myself, Barry Sheen, Mark Osler was really the only one who came over from Channel 7. And so it was a fresh start on 10. And, you know, I was still only 25 years old. So it was a massive break for me. And so those early days working with Barry and Mark were great. And then I returned from the States just for 2 years, and I did 2005, 2006, which was the end of a 10-year period on Channel 10, that last race at Phillip Island in 2006. So getting to work with, you know, my dear friends Darrell Beattie and Greg Russ and Neil Crompton and Billy Woods, and, you know, really, really, I've been away from Australia for so long, but I really cherish those days and those memories.
Now, of course, then you moved to the USA. How did that come about? Because it's not like it was advertised in the paper, I'm assuming.
No, it wasn't. And I kind of came the long way around. I went to the UK first. So I worked for 3.5 years with Channel 10 in the late 90s. And at the end of 1999, beginning of 2000, I moved to the UK, to London. I kind of, you know, I had a terrific job in Australia, and I thought I would be, I'd like to take a chance at being a small fish in a big pond as opposed to the other way around. And I'd met some people in the UK and in Europe, and, you know, they said, well, we don't really have a job to give you, but if you come, it'll be a lot easier. So I had an opportunity to move to London, and, you know, I was doing the occasional voiceover here or there. It was enough to, you know, just survive. And I was very fortunate that within the first few weeks of being there, I had an interview with the BBC got a job for covering the World Superbike Championship, so traveling the world. And I didn't find out until many months later that my dear old friend and my dear late friend Barry Sheen was behind that, and he had helped. He'd called the BBC incessantly saying, listen, you got to give my young mate Lee a job. So I worked there for a couple of years covering the World Superbike Championship and World Rally Championship, and outside of that doing other projects. And then there was an opportunity to come to America in 2002 and do IndyCar. And I've been here pretty much every year ever since.
Lee Diffy from NBC Sports joins us this afternoon on the Sideline View. Yep, you say they're about calling motorsport in the USA, but you also cover the Olympics. Is there anything that you cannot call?
I think there's a lot of things that I could not call. I don't think I'd be too good at NBA or NFL or NHL. There's lots of things that I couldn't call, but, you know, I've taken a crack at pretty much everything that's been thrown at me. I got to call quite a bit of rugby over the last handful of years, which I really enjoyed. But sadly, just because of my motorsport conflicts, there's not much opportunity to do that anymore. But very excited to be in Tokyo this summer for the Olympics. I'm going to get to call track and field, which is a huge honour and a huge privilege to call that for the American audience. Yep. You know, everybody's, you know, the big three, swimming, gymnastics and track and field, and so to have the opportunity to call a 100-metre final or a 200-metre final or various things like that is going to be massive, and that's certainly a proud point in my career.
Looking forward to the Olympics a little later this year. Now, turning our attention to a New Zealander who drives supercars here and now he's trying his luck in the United States, Scotty McLaughlin. How do you see him going?
I think he'll do really well.
Yep.
I think so long as, you know, Aussie supercar fans and all of us, myself included, we don't put too greater expectations on him too soon. And that's the most important thing, too soon. He is going to win races. I think he'll win a championship one day. I think he may even win the Indianapolis 500. He has immense talent. He's with one of the best teams. And he has had this goal, this drive to be over here for a long time. You know, I didn't get a chance to commentate on him in supercars, but I know Scott personally through him coming to the United States because of his wife, being from Long Island, New York.
Yep.
And Scott drove for a dear friend of mine, Gary Rogers. And another really dear friend of mine, former head of Channel 10 Sport and News, David White. So I got to meet Scott through mutual friends, and whenever he'd come to New York City, we'd go out to dinner together. And so I've known of his aspirations and his drive to be here, either in NASCAR or IndyCar, wherever Penske was going to steer him. So he's super pumped. He's really excited. He got to do a couple of preseason tests already. And you know, the eyes wide open. He's taking it all in. He got to do that race at St. Pete last year after the Bathurst 1000, which was a really good toe in the water for him. So he knows what's coming up, and he's just bursting to get into the car. So I think he will succeed, whatever that means, whether that means the top five or whether that means the podium or whether he shocks the IndyCar world and wins very early. I don't think we're going to have to wait too long to see him do great things.
And just finally, Lee, and a lot of young people obviously want to try their hand into getting into sport broadcasting. It seems the younger generation are coming through, as we mentioned earlier, about calling the local footy or the local cricket, that sort of thing. Is there any advice that you would give our younger generation who will be listening on the Sideline View this afternoon? Maybe just a couple of tips to maybe take that next step into calling a sport, whatever that may be.
Well, Daniel, you hit the nail on the head. You know, something at a local level, but pick something, you know, that you have passion for. Because at the end of the day, enthusiasm and passion always wins out. So if you have a sport that you love, that you know, every number and every name, and you know the history, and that just comes through naturally from your own enthusiasm, that's going to be a big winner. And then if you look at now compared to when I was trying to start out, just, you know, we all walk around with a smartphone in our pocket pretty much, right, that can record either a voice recording or a video recording or whatever. You can practice your own recording. You're able to email that and send audition, you know, emails or sound bites or whatever it might be. I think now, although as competitive as it is, it there's greater opportunities for you to show people what you can do without actually getting a job on radio or a job on television. But passion, have a passion for something, and that's going to be a really good first big step forward to achieve your goal.
Hey, Lee, really do appreciate your time this afternoon on the Sideline View. Lee Diffie from NBC Sports, thank you so much for your time. You've been very generous with it this afternoon.
Well, it's important to me to talk to you and your listeners because my family has a rich history in northeastern Victoria, in the Serpentine, Benalla, Wangaratta, Everton areas. So that's where the Diffies are from. So me to speak to you and your listeners, it really means a lot to me.
No, I really do appreciate your time. Lee Diffie joining us from NBC Sports on Gold Central Victoria.